Well, of course he is. I don't know what you're worrying about.
Bound to be worried, Matt. He's always wanted to come to us before.
Well, he still does. He was just overexcited with that party. You know what kids are.
Mm.
What the hell Arthur was doing there, I don't know.
He did look awfully frail, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the kiss of death. They couldn't make a noise without it being a row. If they even walked near him, they were told to keep still and stop racketing about.
He shouldn't really have been there.
No, with only half his excuse, I wouldn't have been. I went to sleep in the end.
Yes, yeah, so I noticed.
It was self-defense. You've gone off to the kitchen for a natter with Liz. What else was I supposed to do?
I don't know, Matt.
Oh, for God's sake, woman, get undressed and come to bed.
I am. Of course, it rather suited Liz in some ways.
What did?
Jeremy. Not wanting to come to us.
He does want to come to us.
Well, crying about it, then. I think she and Peter have been getting a bit fed up with the way he's usually nagging to come round here.
Well, Peter may have been, but I wouldn't have thought Liz had. I mean, it's one less underfoot, isn't it? And it's not her kid.
That isn't the point.
Look, I don't know what you're going on about. Will you hurry up and come to bed?
I'm being as quick as I can. Just got to take my face off.
Oh, God, that's another half a flaming hour.
At least I got to the bottom of it in the end.
What?
Why, Jeremy burst into tears. I managed to get it out of him when I was saying goodnight to him.
Oh?
Yes. He hadn't been allowed to have Mr. Tully to the party.
Who the hell is Mr. Tully?
You know, the boatman. The one who produced the pullover the day that Jeremy fell in the canal. They're always talking about him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently, he got the idea that he was going to be allowed to have Mr. Tully round to tea sometime instead. This holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it, Matt. He was looking forward to it. And when he heard he was coming to us, he thought the whole thing was off.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, I told him he could have Mr. Tully to tea here.
You did?
Yes. That cheered him up straight away.
Wonderful.
Oh, really, darling. A perfectly pleasant elderly man to tea one afternoon. The idea appalls you so much, you needn't be there.
Thank you.
I just thought it might make things up to Jeremy a bit.
Make things up for what?
For today. We can have another tea party. Only more fun.
You wouldn't by any chance be competing, would you?
I'm down first.
Thank goodness somebody is.
Any orange juice?
That on the table, Sue.
Oh, yes. I'm hungry.
I'll be getting on with your cereal, then. I won't be long with this.
What is it? Bacon?
Bacon and eggs.
Good. Do you realize this is the last breakfast I'll eat when I'm 10?
It's not the last ever, Sue. There's no need to gobble.
Okay. This time tomorrow I'll be 11.
You'll be 11 before that. You were born at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I'm nearly a teenager.
Don't.
The post hasn't come yet, has it?
No. Well, you aren't expecting anything today, surely.
Well, you never know.
Oh, sir. That smells very good. Morning, Sue.
Morning. Gosh, you look smart.
Oh, thank you.
Bacon and egg, darling.
Yes, I think I'd better, don't you? Might give me a bit of stamina.
Where are you going, Dad?
Oh, to my publisher's. Oh, I see young Dickens returned to the fold.
Yes.
Where's he been?
Oh, he was away for a night. He's obviously back in residence now. Just bumped into him collecting the post.
The post? Was there anything for me?
No.
I bet there was.
Really?
I can always tell when you're lying, Dad. Yeah. I bet you're keeping it till tomorrow.
Ah, well, you'll just have to wait and see, won't you?
What time's your appointment, darling?
Oh, after lunch. A damn nuisance being on a Wednesday, but I've waited long enough.
Absolutely. I shouldn't stand for any nonsense.
What about?
It's Daddy's publishers, darling. They've been messing him around, rather.
How do you mean?
Well, they didn't acknowledge receipt of the chapters I sent them, which is extremely rude. And there's a new man there who seems to be persistently unobtainable on the telephone, so I'm going to see him.
Oh.
It is a pity Nicola left.
Oh, it certainly is. But never mind. I look forward to hearing what this Mr. Hemingway has to say.
Hello.
There's some post for you.
What's the matter?
As a matter of interest, Rob, how many people did you tell about me being out all night?
What?
I've just had a sarky comment from Mike Nash about it.
Sorry, I simply asked one or two people if they knew where you'd gone, that's all.
What on earth for?
I thought something might have happened.
I'm quite capable of looking after myself.
Right. I overreacted.
It makes me look such a fool.
I don't see why. Oh, I've made some coffee, by the way, if you want any.
I've had breakfast, thanks.
Look, I suppose it's partly because, well, I didn't do anything about Sophie the night she was... You know, I felt awful about it. When her flatmate rang to say she hadn't got home, and I just passed it off. It's been on my mind ever since. I just can't forget it.
Come on. Anyone would have done the same thing under those circumstances, honestly, Rob. I'm hardly Sophie. Didn't think anyone had raped me, did you?
Don't be daft.
All right. I won't keep going on about it, but the nudge, nudge, wink, wink from everyone is getting me down.
What do you mean?
Well, it's obvious what they all think I was up to.
Weren't you?
With Debbie? In her condition?
Well, it didn't have to be Debbie. You were there a hell of a time.
Well, I told you, it was ages before everyone surfaced. Then we had a sort of lunch. You know how it goes on.
I thought it wasn't your scene.
What?
The squad. That's what you said.
Well, this isn't really my scene. It's just, well, they've got a certain laissez-aller attitude that can be quite a relief occasionally. You know, you can do what you want and yet you're still part of a group.
And you like that?
Yes, in a way. Don't really know what my scene is.
The trouble is, Mr. Nash, that it's just not our sort of book.
No? Well, you seemed perfectly pleased with the last one.
Did we?
Well, you published it. Did quite well.
Ah, it did, yes.
Less than 2 years ago.
A lot can change in 2 years, Mr. Nash, and the market has changed considerably.
In what way?
Well, shall I say that we are aiming at a slightly different market?
Uh-huh. Go on.
What we are interested in is the broader canvas. Bestsellers.
Well, aren't we all?
If you are, Mr. Nash, then I think we've got a working relationship.
Only you don't want this book.
Oh, no, 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 I'm not saying that.
Well, it sounded remarkably like it to me.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with the idea. You've got a good story.
Yes, it's based on truth.
What worries me is the treatment. Your first chapter, for instance. It's slow. It's slow, isn't it?
Well, I was trying to set the atmosphere. Life was slower then. More claustrophobic, more boring in some ways.
Yes, but we don't want to bore the reader, do we?
No.
I mean, we have to wait till the last line of the chapter before she decides to go to bed with him.
Well, yes. Well, the idea is, you see, that it is partly boredom that drives her to it.
Well, I think our readers are going to be a bit more interested in the bed bit than the boredom bit. You know?
I see.
And I think you could get a lot more punch into the actual strangling.
More squeeze, you mean?
Another thing that worries me is that you've got to wait from the third chapter till practically the end of the book before we get a second death, according to your synopsis.
That's right.
Too long. A bestseller's going to need a lot more zip than that. You can reduce these things to a formula. In fact, I have.
What do you mean?
Just a minute. Hello?
Mr. Dubofsky on the line for you, Mr. Hemingway.
Can you ask him to hang on a minute? I'm nearly through here. Sorry about that. Yes, I don't know if you'd be interested, Mr. Nash, but I've been doing a certain amount of research on the subject of bestsellers, in conjunction with our publisher's readers. We've analysed the last 15 to hit the bookstalls, and we've come up with a format.
A format?
Yeah. Practically foolproof, I'd say. I've got a copy here, if you'd like to take it away with you. You're a writer, Mr. Nash. You have a real turn of phrase. You just need a bit more zing. And I think you'd find this very interesting reading.
Cranberry pudding. You've got some new sweets on the menu here, Rob.
Oh, yeah. They're hot, so they can't go on the sweet trolley. I had to put them on the menu. I'm trying to push them.
I wonder why. Coffee and chestnut souffle. It couldn't by any chance be something to do with what we got left over from Christmas, could it?
There's enough chestnut puree to sink a ship. We didn't use half of it for the stuffing, so I'm sweetening it, using it up in as many puds as I can.
Good for you.
Well, if you've got any more ideas, you might let me know.
Right.
You're not leaving, are you?
Ah, I've got to, I'm afraid, Rob.
They've only just arrived.
I was only looking in, really, to see how everything was going. I want to get back to give Jeremy his supper.
Oh, yeah, of course. You've got Jeremy with you.
I'm afraid I just left him watching television with Matt. You can't think of anything he might like to do, can you, Rob?
How do you mean?
Well, any outings we could take him on. I'd like to give him a really super holiday for the rest of the time that's left.
But what about one of the Christmas shows? There's quite a few good ones.
Yes. Yes, I'll book tickets. How about you coming with us?
I don't think we could both go. I think one of us ought to be here with Sophie. She's not really up to taking charge again yet.
When did she get back?
Turned up lunchtime. I sent her home after that. Told her to have the evening off. I hope that was all right.
Yes, of course. Well, I might persuade Bill to take a turn one of these days. Just so that we can go to a matinee. Jeremy would love it if you came along too.
Well, if you can fix it. I'll always take him swimming any morning, you know. Ask him how he feels about that.
Oh, I don't need to. He'd jump at it. Mike?
Yes?
Oh, that was a very loud slam. Oh. Nearly made me jump out of my skin.
Sorry.
How did it go? All right. Forget I asked.
I'm wondering whether to take the book away from them, that's all.
Darling, that's not a very good idea, is it?
Well, it won't be a very good book if I don't.
What do you mean?
Oh, he wants it all written differently. Jazzed up, lots of sex and violence. Oh, you know the sort of thing.
Who is this he? Not Mr. Hemingway.
Andrew Hemingway, no other.
Oh, Mike.
He's brash. He thinks he knows it all and about as tactful as a herd of elephants.
What about going to somebody higher up? One of the directors?
I don't know any of them. That's probably where he's getting his directives from anyway. From someone up there.
They weren't like this before.
No. But one thing I do know is that it's no good leaving a book with a publisher who isn't really keen about it. Because he's just not going to bother.
Oh, dear. I am sorry.
Oh, well, never mind. How's the day gone for you, darling?
Not much better, except that it's not quite as important. I had no luck at all with Sue's present. Mm. She wanted a particular record, which they haven't got. So it's just going to be a record token. Unless I ask Tony to chase it up.
The Nash family hasn't done so well, taken all round. Oh, let's have a sherry.
Good idea. I'll just draw the curtains.
Oh, we've only got dry left. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'll do for me. Good Lord. You should see the car that's coming up the street.
I think I'll have a scotch.
It's one of those enormous American things. 6 miles long and bright green. They're stopping.
Oh, well, maybe it's an oil shake come to buy the mews.
They're stopping outside here, Mike.
Well, number one is not for sale.
How odd. Mike!
What is it?
It's Sonia!
Thank you.